you are truly supposed to be the most brave person in this entire company. You set the bar. So if you're not even willing to get in front of a camera, can you ask your employees to do anything? Something that's always propelled me is just, I will never put them in a situation more uncomfortable than one I've ever been in. You cannot expect other people on your team to grow by putting them in lesser conditions than you were in.
How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a $1 billion portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build.
What is the number one lesson you've learned over the last year about creating successful content?
You know, it's funny. I look back at, like, I think a lot of the times, especially with content, I find myself wanting to change a lot because just like, it's funny. It's like almost, I forget the same principles of business and other areas of life. Sometimes I don't apply them to content because it's probably the newer thing for me. But if I look back, it's really consistency of just showing up and sticking with the plan, because I don't think that I realized the amount of skills that I was going to pick up if I just stuck with it. Like my ability to articulate things, my ability to understand when somebody's asking me a question, what they actually want to get out of me, my ability to build rapport with an interviewer, my ability to know what kind of content is going to do well on Twitter versus LinkedIn versus YouTube. Not saying I've mastered those things, but I think that just doing it and sticking with the plan that I had of committing to doing content no matter what the result, that has yielded me more returns than any like strategic change that I have made. Just continuing to use the feedback from the content, how I feel about the content, watching myself in the content to apply to the next time, and then just trying to do a little bit better, like 1% better every time.
What's the untold weight of being consistent at content and the practical day-to-day that people wouldn't understand that you carry? And I would mean like you wake up in the morning on a shoot day. Is there anything rushing through your head like self-doubt? Or is there anything rushing through your head of like, you maybe could do the ops CEO stuff because you've built that muscle, but to be consistent, the resistance you have to overcome, what's the emotional pressure?
Honestly, like what really happens is that most of the time when I have a shoot day, something in the business blows up. Like we joke that it's like, oh, did something, and it's like the amount of times, like, I mean, you know, we have a portfolio, we have all these businesses, like two shoots in a row, something, I get a text like 10 minutes before I'm going in, some huge legal thing, right? And I'm just like, and all I want to do is cancel the shoot and just go handle it. You know, I had another shoot day where, you know, I had a huge employee issue happen like 20 minutes before the shoot. And I was like, and it's somebody who reports to me and I need to handle it, but I couldn't. And so it's like, I had to send somebody else to do their best. And so what it is that when you're actually running the business and then you've got to go make content, go on a podcast, speak on stage, whatever it may be, it's that there are things happening and you are completely aware of them. And you really just want to cancel what you've got in front of you to go handle them. The thing is that if you did that every time, you would never make any content. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I have found is that in the beginning, like the very beginning, I did cancel content consistently because of these things happening until I realized that it's never going to stop happening. And if anything, the resistance is only going to get stronger because our business is growing quickly. And so there are more things happening. There are more, I would say, like fires that I have to put out because I think I look at a CEO as chief firefighter. And so I just have to learn how to be patient, which is, in my opinion, the definition of patience is just knowing what to do in the meantime, which is just go all in on the content and get so into what I am doing that I forget about this giant fire that's burning behind me. Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah. And have you always had the mental toughness to perform under pressure, or was there a particular time in your life when you didn't, and how did you grow it?
I think that I have had the ability to remain poised when there's a lot of happening and when I'm stressed. And I think that I've gotten a lot of that practice through running the business and showing up on a meeting with hundreds of employees and remaining poised and not letting them see how stressed I am, because what good is that going to do them? I can say I'm stressed, but I don't need to show it. And so I think that has translated over, but it was slower than I thought. And I think because when your skill of being on camera, you know, working off, whether it's a script or it's ad hoc or whatever, is low, then it kind of affects your ability to hone in on other skills at the same time, because you're putting so much of your attention to this skill that is low that it's hard to also recruit these other skills from a different area that can transfer. So I don't think I was particularly good at it in the beginning. I think that I could watch a video and be like, it's clear that I do not want to be making this video. It's clear that I'm stressed in this video. It's clear that I think if you look at my early shorts, for example, like I did not want to be making that content. I was like, let me get 100 shorts in one day and let me get the fuck out of here because I'm busy, you know? And so I think that now I've really leaned into probably just using it as an opportunity to do something that I'm proud of after. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm going to be super stoked. Like, I hit every single thing perfectly. But it's like, if I were watching these videos, I wouldn't have no idea that these things are happening to this person. And I think it was last week, I had food poisoning the day before. So I was vomiting all night. And then I was exhausted. And I texted the team and I was like, I'm going to try and get through today, but I just want to make you guys aware if I seem off, this is why. And we're in the middle of the shoot and I'm finishing a video and I can just feel it. I was like, I'm gonna throw up. And I was like, I will not throw up until this video is done. And then the moment that the video finished and we got the clip, I was like, I will be right back. And then I went and threw up for like 15 minutes. And then I fixed my makeup and came back. And then I was like, we got to finish. And they were like, you sure? And I was like, yeah, because you're all here. Two of you flew in. Everyone's cleared their days. Like, just got to do what you got
to
do.
When it comes to the weight of carrying the ops and the CEO responsibilities, and then speaking, podcast, content, what's your why for even investing in it, for even taking the time to deal with that pressure and allowing that fire to maybe not be put out for a while because you've scheduled the content? Why are you that committed to content?
You know, it's interesting because I think at this point, I start to see the reward from it because my skill has gotten better. I've gotten more comfortable. But in the beginning, it didn't even feel that way. I would even say each month it starts to feel better and better. I think because I'm just really determined on some level to be able to provide an example of what I always wish I had had. And I tell people this a lot. I'm like, make the content that you want to consume. And so like, that's kind of what I'm doing. I kind of wish that I had had somebody who had, it's like, I am the person that 10 years ago I wished I had. And because of that, I want to keep putting out the content for probably some like weird nostalgic, like that is what I wish I had had. And I would like to be that for other people, whether it be true or not. It is something that motivates me a lot to think about. And when I'm talking to people in a lot of my content, that's who I'm thinking about. Is like me 10, 15 years ago, what would have been helpful for me? What would have been content I would have wanted to watch and that would have made my life better? And so I always keep that in the back of my head because I think there's a lot of times where you can want to indulge in the selfishness in the moment of like, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I've got other shit to do. Like, this is not how I'm making money with sponsorships on content. You know what I mean? But when I anchor with that, which is like, well, you did all that in your last business and you still felt like there was something missing. And I think I can anchor to that, which is like, what was missing was that I wasn't sharing anything I was learning with anybody else. And so to a degree, it felt selfish because I could be helping other people if I just put an extra 20% of my effort into something. And I think that's what I remind myself of now. Now I will say at this point, there's probably a lot more reinforcement. Like if you do it long enough, your content itself starts to reinforce you because you're like, I know what's going to hit. I know this, I know that, right? But for the first couple of years, did not feel that way at all, you know? And I think there's still times when it doesn't, but I think that's what got me through it for the most part is just remembering why you started and having that reminder, because I think that's who I talk to in most of the content.
So you personally don't need sponsorships. You don't need AdSense. You've got acquisition.com and a lot to do, but you also acquisition.com invests in companies. What percent that you acquire or jump on are doing content well when they start?
None.
None of them. Are they actively creating content and not just doing it well, or they're not committed to creating content?
It's like more of our businesses than not don't create any.
And do they not need to, or would, from your opinion, do you say one of the ways we would grow the company is you should consider this? And where I'm going with this Is there a framework to help a business owner determine if they should invest in content?
Yes. So I'll put it like this. If a company comes to us and the way that they acquire customers and build their brand is not propelled by content and they are smaller, then I think that it would be probably quite the burden on the business to suddenly start saying you need to start making content because they've got something that is working. Is it what I think is absolutely best? No, but I think that if it's working, let's keep doing it. Let's do more of it. And then once we have bandwidth, we have some team members in place and we have more momentum in on these other things that we're doing to grow the business, then let's say, hey, we've got excess resources. Let's put it towards this thing. I think it's a matter of sequence. You know, if somebody starts a business and it's working really well and they're not making content, I think that trying to stretch yourself 50-50 between two things when you have no help is probably not the best idea, regardless if it's content or something else. And so for me, it's more of a matter of sequence of like, okay, once we have excess resources and we have excess time and we have skill on the team to take over these other things that do work well so that they can maintain those things and if not even just grow them, then I would say let's look at adding in content. And so I also think that to that degree, I'd think through, well, what kind of content? Is it content around the company? Because I would say that like two of our brick and mortar chains, for example, the founders don't make content, but we make content around the brand, right? Of the chain of, it's a lot of like client testimonials. It's a lot of like, you know, walking into the locations and showing them around and saying like, this is what we have. And like, it's a different style than like what me and Alex do, right? And so I don't tell the founders like, hey, you should make personal content. I'm like, hey, this would be really cool if we captured this in the studio, if we did this, or like, how about when, you know, customers are walking in, we're showing these lines, or like just stuff like that. So I think then the next question is like, should the business make content or should the person make content? Which I think is absolutely a case by case basis, because some founders in our portfolio, for example, I think less than more, like maybe two, would have the natural, they have enough of a base level skill set that making content wouldn't be such a stretch and it would probably do pretty well off the bat. Whereas a decent amount of them don't have that base level of skill. And I think we just need to hone in on like, hey, if they don't even have the skill yet of like running a really great meeting for their entire team, like showing up as a fantastic leader, then why would I think that they could like speak to an audience on Instagram well? It's actually a very transferable skill. Mm-hmm. And so I look at that, which is just, what's the return on effort? Mm-hmm. And is that what's best for the business right now? It's not that I don't think they would ever make content, but at what point? And I love making content and I think it's a great way to grow a business. I also think that there's just a sequence for everything and you have to solve for like what is most important right now, that if we were to do this one thing, it would grow the business the most. If that's content, cool, let's do it. If it's not content, let's not try and do content too. Let's tackle what the constraint is right now. Guys, I just want to take a quick break to thank all of you for listening to the show so far. If you enjoy what you're listening to, I would be so grateful if you would just consider leaving me a review or even sharing it with somebody who you think would love to hear the kind of content. As you can see, I don't run ads on here, so the only way that this show grows is if we can continue to make awesome content, and the only way I can do that is through you liking, subscribing, and rating. All right, let's get back to it.
So probably, would you agree with this, that most businesses, in the proper timing, should build their business's brand. And if they can use content for acquisition, they should.
Yeah.
Personal branding might not be for everybody. Do you agree with that?
I'll put it like this. I think personal branding is just showing who you are. So if you're a person, it's not gonna do well for you. Mm-hmm. If you're a great person, it's gonna do really well for you. If you are a likable person, it's gonna do great for you. And at the same time, there are people who are people have great followings because they're polarizing. So I guess that's a thing. It's just not my thing. I'll put it that way. Like, I wouldn't want to make content if people just on me all day.
Sure.
It could get views, sure. But like, I don't know. Part of me is like, that wouldn't be fun. So
what would you say to the busy business owner listening to this that does want to create content but says, I'm too busy?
It is a great excuse for people who are scared and they're nervous to be like, I'm just too busy to do it. I mean, I said it to myself for years. Like, and to be truthful, like, I still feel like I'm too busy to do it. Like, every single day that I have a content day, I'm like, oh my God, if I had this day back, this is what I could get done. And so what does that mean for me? It means that a lot of the times I don't take days off. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Alex and I were talking about it. Like, we have not taken a full day off since before Thanksgiving. And that's just the season I'm in. And so I think for people who are going to do it, you just have to ask yourself, this, which is, it's not that you're too busy. It's that you have something that you would have to give up in order to make the content. Are you willing to do that or not? Is it worth the trade? And so for me, having one less free day and knowing that I'm going to probably work on the weekend is worth the trade. For some people, it's not. And I just think you have to ask yourself that question and be real about it. So instead of saying this bullshit that you don't have time, it's actually just, I actually have chosen to do something else instead. Because when people say, for example, right, I don't have time to work out. So you're just sitting doing nothing, right? It's, you're doing something else instead of working out.
Yeah.
So if you're not making content, you're doing something else instead of making content. Maybe you're scrolling on Instagram.
Yeah.
Maybe you're thinking about making content and sitting there ruminating about how terrible or how good it would be. Like, you're doing something else in place of making content. So what is that thing? And that thing that you're doing instead, is it worth the trade?
You're hitting on like limiting beliefs, and you get to coach really high level successful people, including things like maybe it's just fear, making excuses. What are those most common things that you actually think, if we could self-identify and fix those, we could propel so much faster? High level successful CEOs or operators, founders, yeah, that similarly are the biggest common themes that maybe you're unlocking in people you're coaching through acquisition.com.
There's a difference between people who are good and people who are exceptional. So good CEOs, I would say that a lot of the time it is fear, and they're just fearful of what people are going to think. Whereas I think in the exceptional operators or CEOs, it's that they are truly gassing it. And so they feel guilty pulling resources from their team to help them make content, because in some weird way, they feel like they're so self-sacrificial that they don't feel justified making personal content or taking resources from the company that could be put elsewhere. And sometimes there's a mix of the two. And so I think it's just, I mean, I make most decisions by just providing evidence and stating facts, which is, you know, if we look at, for somebody, for example, who's more of a self-sacrificial one, it would just be looking at what would be the return on effort of making the content versus a marketing funnel, a direct response, et cetera. And so like the argument I might make to that person is that, yes, we have direct response marketing and we have paid marketing, but how much could we lower the cost of acquisition if we also had organic marketing? Because what we've seen is that in our companies that have both organic marketing and paid marketing, that's the ones that get the best returns. And their CAC is significantly lower, like four times lower. Because what does somebody do when they see an ad for a company? They go and Google it, and then they say, oh, let me go look at them and snoop around. You know, it's the same as when someone applies for a job. They're not just like, oh, I'm going to apply, and yeah, oh, yep, not going to Google that. Like, it's like, yeah, you obviously put it in Google, and you're like, let me sniff around and see what the f*** they do, you know, and like sneak up on them. And so it's the same for advertising. And so it's just, I make the argument to somebody that if you did this, I think that we could get a reasonably, we could reduce CAC by, you know, 3 or 4X. And so that is a, I would say like for somebody who's really exceptional, making a logical argument like that is compelling. Whereas somebody who is fearful of what people will think, I think it is much more of an approach of reminding them that they are the leader of the company. And that if they are not going to confront fear and overcome it, then who will?
Mm.
Like, you are truly supposed to be the most brave person in this entire company. You set the bar. So if you're not even willing to get in front of a camera, can you ask your employees to do anything? That's the way I look at it. It's like, you won't even get on a stage in front of 50 people. And you ask them to do what?
Mm.
And so for me, something that's always propelled me is just, I will never ask others, I will never put them in a situation more uncomfortable than one I've ever been in, which means I really want to put myself in some uncomfortable situations because I want to make sure that they grow as well. And you cannot expect other people on your team to grow by putting them in lesser conditions than you were in. So if I put my team in a condition that is stressful, and then I try to buffer the stress by making it actually not quite as bad as whatever I had to experience, I don't actually make it any better for them. They don't gain the skills that I got. And so I think that that's another way to look at it. It's like, you're the one setting the bar and everyone's going to follow from there. And so those are probably the two things that I would say I have to work on with different styles of leaders.